So as we've been sharing on these messages on positioning yourself to receive healing, as we just shared prior to starting this message, this word position can mean a couple of different things. Mainly, it's you know, if we were to use it today, a lot of times people just think, well, that's a place or a location. It can mean that. And it primarily, for me, means a point of view. It's your position. It's your opinion about something. And since we are Christians, our point of view should be the Word of God. What does God think? And so we need to take on His thoughts, and so that our mind is renewed to the promises of God, so that we can do what? As Joshua said, that as we meditate in it day and night and observe to do it, and let it not depart out of our mouth, that we will make our way prosperous and successful in this life. So that ought to be our objective. And so as we start this lesson, let's look at Hebrews 11:6 in the King James and start there, and then we will look at the Message translation and take a look at that also. But the King James version, we're most familiar, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that," what? "Cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now, we've entitled this message tonight, God, the Generous Giver. And so we can see here, right here, if we approach Him and believe that He is what? He's everything I need. He's my healer. He's my provider. He's my Savior. So if He's my, and so if I come believing that He is my healer, I must also believe that He rewards me. And so if I believe that, then I have to have a position that I believe that He will provide that, what I'm believing for, upon approaching Him. So this is one of the things that is really, I like the Message translation of Hebrews 11:6. And it says it in a way that I think we can, you know, kind of, relate to. It says, "It's impossible to please God apart from faith." And why? "Because anyone," this is whosoever, "anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that He exists and that He cares enough," this is what I like about this translation, "and that He cares enough to respond to those who seek Him." So you not only need to believe that He both, and this says exists, but for us, the Bible never sets out to prove that God exists, but He exists as my healer in this case, and He cares enough to respond with healing to those that approach Him or those that seek Him. So we must believe both. We must believe that He is the healer, and we must believe that He's a rewarder or healer of those that diligently seek Him. So we must believe both, and in believing both, that belief must be equal in size in both cases. I can't just believe that He is, or He is my healer, and then, well, maybe He's a rewarder. Maybe He will, maybe He won't. This is where we get into trouble. This is what we were talking about Sunday, about being in a place of wavering or differing, not sure, not confident. So we must be strong in faith in the fact that He is, and He is a rewarder. And let's jump over to Mark 11, or James chapter 1 and verses 5 through 8. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And we started to establish the connection here in the King James between believing that God is a giver and our ability to believe that we receive when we approach him. We need to establish that. So, and that connection. James chapter 1, and starting in verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. This is our theme tonight. God is a generous, liberal giver. He that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is what? Like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And then let's continue. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord, for a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, I want to take a look at back at verse 5 in this chapter. And it says, if any of you lack wisdom, what are we supposed to do? Ask of God. It doesn't mean, you know, we think about this. If you lack wisdom in something, you may have a mountain staring at you. It says, we need wisdom. It's not how big is this mountain in front of me. It's the lack of wisdom that I need to do what? To how to deal with this mountain in front of me. So this, I wanted to share something from Rick Renner's book on Sparkling Gems, just a little paragraph that he shared, which is insightful about this word ask. This word ask, it said, is used in other scripture passages, and of course we've shared that, John 14 and John 15. And it says that this scripture passage is the same Greek word, aiteo. The word aiteo means to be adamant in requesting or demanding assistance to meet tangible needs such as food, shelter, money, wisdom, health and healing, and so forth. This person may insist or demand that a certain need be met, but he approaches his superior with respect and honor as he makes his very strong request. This word ask also expresses the idea that the one asking has a full expectation to receive what has been firmly requested. In order for me to be in a position to firmly expect or have a full expectation to receive what's been asked or firmly requested, I've got to believe that not only is my healer, but he's a generous giver. He cares enough to respond to my request. And we know that these requests are based on the redemptive plan of Christ. It's been what has been sealed and bought by the blood of Jesus has been paid for and is ours. So we can firmly request what has been bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus. And just what he also, Rick Renner also continues, he said, when James tells us to ask God for the wisdom we need, and this is where you need someone who knows Greek. He said the Greek tense, T-E-N-S-E, used is a command. This plainly means God isn't suggesting that we come to him for wisdom. He is commanding us to do so. That puts a whole different light on it. God is saying, and we were looking at that on Sunday, where if you just back up a few verses in James, you can see the context of that starting from verse 2, 3, and 4, and then into 5, it talks about you know, if the trying of your faith work in patience, and that let patience have her perfect work, so that you can be what? Perfect, entire, wanting nothing. And then it goes on, and then it says what? If you lack wisdom. So it didn't say everybody lacked, but if you're in a situation and if you lack wisdom, let them ask of God. And so here, let's look at the New Living Translation of James 1:5. I like some of these more modern translations because they kind of give us a better picture of the nature of God. And it says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God. I like this. And he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Now, another translation here, this is, again, the Common English Bible, the CEB. It says, but anyone who needs wisdom should ask God. I like this translation. It says, whose very nature, boy, you look this up because I tell you, it blessed me. Whose very nature is to give to everyone without a second thought, without keeping score. Woo! Wisdom will certainly be given to those who ask. I'm going to read that again just for me. This is the Common English Bible. But anyone who needs wisdom should ask God, whose very nature is to give to everyone without a second thought, without keeping score. Wisdom will certainly be given to those who ask. Glory to God. Now, Rick Renner is also coming out with a translation. I think, I'm not sure exactly when it is. It's called the RIV, the Renner Interpretive Version. But he wrote in his book, Sparkling Gems, on James 1:5 of what his interpretation of verse 5 is. He said, if anyone lacks insight, let him firmly request it. And then he says it another way. If anyone has a shortage of wisdom, he should demand it. And this is one I like here he put in his book. If anyone is baffled and doesn't know what to do, he should be bold to ask. How many of you have been baffled and don't know what to do? Every one of us. We've approached something or have had something that we just didn't know what to do. We had a shortage. We lacked insight. We didn't know what to do. And God is saying, if you lack insight, if you have a shortage of wisdom, if you're baffled and don't know what to do, what should we do? He's commanding us to be bold and firm and request it. And it says, God, who's generous, who's a generous giver, will provide it. He will give it. Isn't that, that's good news. So the issue, when you say the biggest problem is not the mountain that we face. It's what? It's the problem is your lack of wisdom to know how to deal with it. So when we ask for wisdom, isn't it a wonderful thing? We've all been there. When you have what's called an aha moment and you're faced with an issue, you don't know what to do, you pray, you ask God, and you're just crying out, say, God, give me the help, show me what to do. You're asking for wisdom. But don't beg. He's saying, ask me and I'll do it. He's a generous giver. Isn't that a wonderful thing when you see, oh, I see what to do. I can see it. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So now the problem that you were facing doesn't seem so mountainous, doesn't seem so impossible anymore because you've gotten what? Insight, or you've gotten some enlightenment from God on how to handle that problem. So it doesn't seem so impossible anymore. So what we were sharing on Sunday, and I'm just going to briefly go over this again, is that when we looked at verse 7 in James chapter 1, and we talked about, again, positioning ourselves, in verse 7, It sees that we can be disqualified, says, for let not that man think that he shall receive what? Anything of the Lord. Well, what would cause us to be put in a position that we won't receive anything of the Lord? Well, let's look at verse 6. And it says, but let him ask in faith what? Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. So we had highlighted that this word wavering is a Greek word which means to separate oneself in a hostile spirit, to withdraw from, to oppose, to contend with, to dispute, to doubt, to hesitate, to stagger. This is what this Greek word wavering means. So many of us have heard this used by people. I even thought it for years. It's wavering. People thought, well, it's the back and forth, or you could say it's the back and forth between two opinions. Well, that's not necessarily what it means. Here, it's saying that you're in opposition to something that God is providing. He's saying, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, no differing, no contending with what I say. Now, this runs completely and supports what Hebrews 11:6 says, that he that cometh unto God, what? Must believe that he is the healer and that he's generous. He's a liberal giver. And he giveth liberally to all those that come and ask. This is what he's saying. So if you are wavering, then you are in opposition to that. Then you're questioning or you're opposing that God just, maybe just not me. And we're going to look at some examples here of this where God is a generous giver. And we were sharing on Sunday that people have education, but God has wisdom. Nothing wrong with education, but it says what? We are trusting the Lord, and it says, lean not to your own understanding. Well, we use our understanding. We get educated. We get, you know, go to school and get degrees and different things. Nothing wrong with that, but don't lean to it. We're to ask God for the wisdom to show us how to operate, how to deal with things in life. And so now let's take a look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. And we're looking here, looking at God as a generous giver. Because if you don't establish that, then you question whether or not God wants to freely give to you upon approaching him for something that he's providing. Romans 8:32 in the King James says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things. Glory to God. Now, let's look at the Amplified Classic because I like this translation. It says, he who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? He is a gracious giver. And it says here, giveth all other things, all those things that have been bought and paid for. Now let's look at John 3:16. We're establishing that God is a gracious giver, a gracious, liberal giver. And let's look at John 3:16 in the King James. Familiar? For God, what? So loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And let's look at the Amplified Classic. Again, we're establishing that God is, and that he is a rewarder, and he's a gracious rewarder. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him, shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have everlasting or eternal everlasting life. So this is saying here, whoever believes in what? Trusts in, clings to, relies on him, shall what? Shall not perish or come to destruction. So if he loved us to the degree that he sacrificed his Son, how could we think that he would say no to us when we approach him for healing? And the answer is, well, you have to be convinced in your own mind that he sent his only begotten Son that we would not perish, and that he sent him to die for us, and he himself, as the scripture says, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, and by his stripes we were healed. Now, I'm going to look at three accounts tonight, and we want to, again, establish, so far we've given some scripture in James, and we've looked at Romans, and now just John 3:16, that establishes in the scripture that God is a generous giver. But I want to look at some other accounts, and let's look at the woman with the issue of blood in Mark, and let's take a look at verses 27 and 28 of Mark in the Amplified Classic. And this particular chapter, and of course, we know from this account that as we've heard here, after he had come back from Decapolis and he'd come over from the Gadarenes, he came back into that area. If you look on a map, you can see that Capernaum and all of that particular area over there that he ministered in, Bethsaida and so forth, were all on that northeastern shore or northern shore of Galilee. And here we see that this woman with the issue of blood, for how many years? It said 12 years. She suffered many things of many physicians, and she'd spent all she had, but rather nothing. She said she was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And then in the Amplified, in verse 27 and verse 28, we're establishing here that according to Hebrews 11:6, that did she come believing that he is the healer and that he would provide, that he would give, that he would generously give upon approach? And so when we look at the Amplified Classic, it said she had heard the reports concerning Jesus. Boy, I like this. And she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garments. Verse 28, it says, for she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. So the question is, as she pressed through the crowds towards Jesus, did she believe that he is the healer? Absolutely, yes. And so we can see that she came believing. She heard reports concerning Jesus. She had to have heard that all those that came to him were healed. And so she had to have heard those that came and touched him were healed. So here, when she pressed through this crowd, she was pressing through and she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. So did she, next question, did she believe that she would be given healing upon approaching him? You know, here's a woman that was had an issue of blood. She was considered unclean, shouldn't have been out in public, and could have gotten stoned to death for that. And so she had to be what? Convinced that when she approached him, not only was he the healer or her healer, but whatever she heard, she came convinced to be out in public that she would get healing upon approaching him and touching him. So we know that she believed that that he is the healer and that she would be given healing upon approach because of what she said. She said, "If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole." And what? Her words were the result of what she believed. She believed, and so what? As what Jesus said. He said to her in verse 34, he said, "And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." So here, her own words were her conviction, were her belief. That was her position, and she put herself in a position to receive from God, to receive through Jesus. Glory to God. Now let's take a look at this centurion in Luke chapter 7, and we can look at verse 3, but we know this particular account. In Luke chapter 7, it talks about how Jesus, he entered into Capernaum, and it said a certain centurion and had a servant who was dear to him. And if you look at verse 3 in that chapter, and actually it talks about here, it says, "And when he," what? "He heard of Jesus," like the woman with the issue of blood. He heard, he must have heard a report about Jesus. And what did he do? It says he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him. That word beseech means to ask or to desire something from him, that he would come and do what? Heal his servant. This servant was dear unto this centurion. So now he must have believed that he would receive something upon approach. And so let's look at verses 6 and 7 of that chapter, in chapter 7. And it says, "And then Jesus did what? He went with them. And he was now not far from the house." The centurion did what? He sent his friends to him, saying, he said, "Tell the Lord," the friends said to him, "Lord, trouble not thyself, for I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof." That was the message that the centurion sent. Don't come, just as it says here in verse 7, "Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee," it says, "but say in a word, and thy servant shall be healed." He must have believed, based on what he heard of Jesus, he must have believed that what? He is the healer, and that he was what? He believed that he would provide healing when approached. So he was convinced of that. He just said, "Speak the word." And what did Jesus? Jesus went on to say, he said, when he heard this, he marveled and turned about and said, "I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." So Jesus even marveled at this man's faith. So based on what we're looking at here, Jesus not only said, he approached him, the centurion, and said, "He is the healer, and he will provide healing. Just speak the word." So he had to believe that he was a rewarder, not only just a rewarder, a generous rewarder, a liberal giver. Now let's take a look at one last account here, and let's take a look at the man with the palsy that was let down or carried by four, and this is in Luke chapter 5, and we know this particular account in verses 17 through 26, but let's look at verses 18, 19, and 20 in this chapter. And I like this. Jesus was teaching some Pharisees and doctors of the law, and it said, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So the power of the Lord was present to heal them. But look at verse 18, and it said, behold, a man brought in a, and behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy. And they sought means to what? Bring him in and to lay him before him or before Jesus. In verse 19, and when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the what? The housetop. Nothing was going to dissuade them or deter them. So they went on top of the housetop, and what did they do? They must have tore it up. They tore the tiling and said, let him down what? Through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Glory to God. So then verse 20 says it all. And when he, Jesus, saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee, and so forth. And he said, I've forgiven thee. And then, of course, you know the rest. It talks about the Pharisees and those that were there began to reason in their mind. And Jesus went on to say, why reason ye? And he said in verse 23, whether it is easy to say thy sins be forgiven thee or to rise up and walk. And he said to this man, take up thy bed or thy couch and walk, rise up and walk. So here we can see, and the question asks, was this man coming, did he believe that Jesus was the healer? Well, no, we see in verse 17, the power of the Lord was present to heal. And their actions displayed what they believed. And their actions, we see here, the men refused to be deterred to get in. So what did they do? They went up on the roof, they tore a hole in it and lowered this man through it. They had to absolutely believe that he was the healer and that he would what? Provide healing upon approach. So this here we can see from these three examples. We see from the woman with the issue of blood, the centurion with his servant, and also this example of the man with the palsy, born by four, we see these three examples that they all, based on the position or the scripture in Hebrews 11:6, that God said it is impossible to please him without faith, and that we must come to him and do what? Believe that he is the healer, and that he is what? A rewarder, a generous giver to them that diligently seek him. And I like, as we were sharing these scriptures in the Message translation again of Hebrews 11:6, it says, it is impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists, he's my healer, and that he cares enough to respond to those that seek him. So we must position ourselves that when we approach God, you may be, as we were sharing on Sunday, you may have a mountain of debt, you may have, you know, a troubled marriage. You may have issues going on with your children. You may have issues going on your job. You may have gotten a report from the doctor concerning your health. But as we said, what we do is when we're faced with obstacles and situations and problems in life and we don't know what to do, what does God say? We approach in faith, asking him for wisdom. And it says what? Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea tossed and buffeted. And so we need to approach God and be absolutely settled and convinced that God desires for us to be successful. God is a generous giver. He wants for us to be a success. 3 John 1 and 2, it says, I wish above all things that you what? Prosper and be in health. So God desires that we prosper. It desires that we be in health even as our soul prospereth. So I just believe that the more we share on this, that you will position yourself to receive, as it shares, all things from God, all things that you need. Things that if he says, ask him for wisdom, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And one of the things I was sharing on Sunday, when we read verse 5 of chapter James chapter 1, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, or as we were sharing before, revile not. And it says, and it shall be given him. Well, the first part of that verse, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that's really talking about our responsibility. That tells us what we're supposed to do. But after it says God, let's put a bracket, and it says, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Close bracket. That's talking about the nature of God. And then what does it say? And it shall be given him. So you could really read that verse, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him. And isn't it interesting? But the Holy Ghost had James insert this in about the nature of God, that giveth to all men liberally. He's a generous, liberal giver. And he, what does it say? And upbraideth not. It just means that he doesn't chide or rail at you. Why are you coming asking me that again for? What are you asking me for that? So it says here, he doesn't upbraid us, or as what we were sharing, he doesn't hold any, he doesn't, what I was reading before in the Common English Bible, it says, but anyone who needs wisdom should ask God, whose very nature is to give to everyone without a second thought, without keeping score. Wisdom will certainly be given to those who ask. So when we approach him, God's nature is to give to all men liberally, but to those that ask him. So we have to come absolutely convinced, expecting. That's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So we come expecting that when we ask in faith, we receive the wisdom that we're looking for, and look for that enlightenment or that insight on how to handle the problem that you're facing. So I trust this has helped you a little bit. It's helping me in just solidifying for me, no matter what I face in life, God is a giver. He's a generous, liberal giver. And when he wants to bless us and he's trying to get to us his wisdom, what are we really saying? His thoughts. Isn't that what Isaiah said? My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. So we need to get his insight on how, his wisdom on how to approach this situation or situations in your life. So praise God. Trust you get something from this. Go back and listen to these messages. As we said, they're free of charge. Download them on your computer or your phone. Listen to them over and over and over, and it will begin to change your thinking. This isn't just listen to it once. Wasn't that a good message? No, keep listening to it. Go back and listen to it again and again, and it will begin to change your thinking. Praise God. Just before we close, we want to extend to those that are watching, if you happen to be in a position where you believe that God is, but you're not sure about some things, that you know he is the Christ. But did you ever confess him with your mouth? It says that we're to believe in our hearts and to do what? Confess with our mouth. It says you're to do what? Confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and it says you'll be saved. So let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, and now I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I ask him to come into my heart, cleanse me and make something new of me, cause me to be renewed in my mind and my thinking. Help me, Father, to be a better Christian, and help me to surround me with new friends, new people. Lead me to a good Bible-believing church. And I believe this day that Jesus has come into my heart. I believe that he has washed me and cleansed me with his blood, and he has delivered me from darkness and translated me into the kingdom of his dear son. So if you made that simple profession of faith, just let us know, email us, contact us by phone, write us, let us know that you've become a brand new creature in Christ. Let us know that you prayed this prayer, and we'll send you something that will let you know who you've become in Christ. Praise God.